there's a difference between the blessing and the blessings. And that's what I want to talk about today, the blessing of the blood. Because there's a difference between you having the blessing and you walking around with blessings. And I understand, my brothers and my sisters, how we can get to this point in our lives, because over the last 10 or 15, let's say 20 years or so, there's been a lot of preaching and teaching. There's been a wave moving through the body of Christ teaching on blessings, the things that God wants us to have. And truly, he is a God of blessings. That there is nothing more desirable for God than for him to see his children blessed and flowing in his provisions. God desires for us to be blessed. However, I think that the most important blessing that God has given unto each and every person in this room, especially if you are saved, goes unappreciated and is somewhat intangible to us, that we can't measure it with our measuring units, even though it cost God everything he had. When we say today that we are blessed in the body of Christ and in the world at large, automatically in this postmodern world that we live in, many will automatically think of material blessings. For we think that blessings are confined to material things. That I am blessed because I drive a 750. I am blessed because I make six or seven figures a year. I am blessed because I have a husband or I have a wife. I am blessed because I'm debt free. I am blessed because I live in a certain neighborhood, or I live in a certain community, or I belong to a certain prestigious organization, and that makes me think that I am blessed. This is how we have misconstrued the function and the idea of what God meant when he said he was going to bless us. Because the things that we have just named are the fruits of blessing, but they are not in and of themselves the blessing. My question to those of you who would ascribe to this theory that I have to be blessed because of the size of my ring and the carrot on my hand, my question to you is, what were you before you had that stuff? Because if your blessings are restricted to the things that you have, help me understand, what were you before you could get your hair done every week? What were you before you moved out of the hood and into the suburbs? Tell me, what were you? Because I think that you have it twisted a little bit, that you are trying to ascribe, oh, watch this, material value on something spiritual that God is trying to show to you. Baby, I hate to bust your bubble, but you were blessed before you started driving the 750. You were blessed before you started making six digits a year. The blessing of God runs deeper than just the things that we can tabulate on a calculator or the balance of our net worth on a financial statement. The blessings of God is much bigger than that. And I hear God saying, don't reduce me down to some material things. He said, because if you really want to know how blessed you really are, look at the price God paid to redeem you. That when God wanted to redeem you, he couldn't buy you with silver. He couldn't buy you with gold. Millions wasn't enough. Billions wasn't enough. But God put Jesus on the firing blocks when he wanted to get Abel into the family. That he says, I love you so much that I'll give my son to die just to have you back. Touch your neighbor and tell him, you are blessed. You are blessed. I can be blessed living where I want to live. Yesterday, my wife and I were going to the picnic, And we were driving. She said, "Ooh, your face is some greasy." I told her, "That's because I've been up in my office praying. That's the anointing of God." And she started wiping my face. I said, "Girl, stop before you wipe my anointing off." And she gave me a revelation. She said, "Baby, if you can wipe it off, it ain't the anointing anyway." I said, "Man, I think I can use that tomorrow, because some of the stuff that you're talking about is a blessing. If man can take it away from you, that ain't the blessing at all. Baby, you can say I'm blessed because of my car, but if I get in a wreck on the way home and lose my car, I'm still blessed. You can say I'm blessed because of where I live, but if that house burned down, I'm still blessed, because the blessings that God has given unto me, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. Don't you say you blessed because of where you work, because tomorrow they might fire you, but you'll be blessed and unemployed at the same time. Look at your neighbor and say, "You blessed, girl. You blessed. You blessed. You blessed. You blessed." And depression can't get me when I really know that I am blessed. I can't get down when I really know that I am blessed. And I'm blessed because, not because of what I buy, but because of who bought me. Man, this got to get in your spirit right here. That you can be driving a 72 Chevette and be as blessed as you want to be. And so watch this now. The devil can't come and make you think you're less than what you are because of your material possessions. And the Lord told me to lift up my voice like a trumpet in Zion for this season and let them know that they are blessed because of their root and not because of their fruit. Because what we have done is we have ascribed blessings as the fruit, but the blessing is not the fruit. The blessing is really the root. It's what you connected to that allows you to produce all of these other things. But I don't know if you know this or not, but fruit are only for a particular season. And sometimes when a tree is not bearing fruit, don't mean the tree is dead. That just means it's not the season for the tree to bear that fruit. But as long as a tree stay connected to the root in due season, that if you just keep saying good morning and good evening, eventually you're going to look at me and I'm going to start bearing some fruit. And I'm trying to get somebody to stop chasing after the fruit and make sure you connect it to the root, because when you connect it to the root, God is always going to make sure that you have fruit to meet your need. Look at your neighbor and say, "You blessed, you blessed, you blessed." Now look at the other neighbor and tell him, "You better than blessed. You are better than blessed." Tell him, "Go on with your old blessed self. Look at you walking in the favor of God. How can you be down? How can you be depressed when you really know that God has blessed you?" And what I want to do, my assignment this morning, is to shift your attention off of the fruit and put it as Christians on the real source of our blessing. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. That if you never get the promotion, you still blessed. If you never get married, you still blessed. If you never are able to eat at fine dining, you are still blessed. And that's why the Lord told me to teach on the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we've gotten away from that in the church today. That nobody wants to talk about the blood. No, nobody wants to talk about what God did to get us back. Nobody want to put, we always want to talk about blinging and getting a Bentley before you're 30 and all of this kind of stuff, but nobody in the body of Christ want to keep it on Jesus Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now you can have the fruit and not be connected to the root, but your fruit is going to temporarily be for a season. Won't be satisfied, won't be fulfilled. We have to know, and I'm not against prosperity. I believe all of us, God desires for us to walk in blessings, but not out of the proper order. Not without knowing, because right now, while our country is in a recession, there's people who have left the church, say, God don't work anymore because you got laid off. God doesn't work anymore because my house was foreclosed on. Baby, God is bigger than your house. God will reduce you down from 5,000 square feet to an 800 square foot apartment and still be the same God that he was while you was in that house. My grandmother lived in a house that wasn't bigger than 1,000 square foot, but you couldn't tell her that she wasn't blood washed, that she wasn't the righteousness of God created in Christ Jesus. And I'm afraid we're raising a generation of small Christian brats that if they don't have the luxuries of God, they want nothing to do with God. And God says, to hell with you. If you just want to chase after my blessings, I want somebody that's going to appreciate my blood. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, he did say hell in church. He did say hell in church. Yes, he did. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Let me hear somebody shout, the blood. So when you praying, yeah, thank him for your house. Thank him for your spouse. Thank him for your job. But thank him for the blood. Because if it was not for the blood, you really wouldn't be blessed at all. And so right here in the book of Revelation, it lets us know that we're blessed because he redeemed us to God by his blood. Let me get somebody, thank you, Holy Ghost, who don't have a job right now to lift your hands and say, I'm still blessed. I'm because the Lord don't want us chasing after stuff. He don't mind us having stuff, but he don't want stuff to have us. So let me share with you the blessing of the blood. Because when the blood of Jesus rests upon your life, there's a blessing that flows from that. And I believe this is what we need in the body of Christ. We need a good foundation teaching so that when storms come, when things rock our world, if our foundation is right, we won't be drawn away with itching ears and with wondering spirits, that we have a solid foundation that we can build upon. The blessing of the blood. If you're writing, I pray you are. The first blessing that comes from the blood is forgiveness and redemption from all sin. We done got so desensitized, we don't even shout for that no more. We don't even say amen for that no more. See, we don't get excited about being redeemed anymore. See, we can mention something like this in church and nobody says hallelujah. Because we're so things driven, but we don't understand that the only reason that we are who we are as Christians is because the blood has given us forgiveness and redemption from all sin. Hallelujah. And I don't know about y'all, but I thank him for that, because there's some sin in my life I can't get rid of. But when I come underneath the blood is able to wash me so and free me from all of those sins that I can't get rid of on my own. Look what the Bible says. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. I'm going to give you some scriptures today. I want you to take notes, and perhaps in your devotion tonight or in the morning, you can rely on this. Because I don't want nobody to mess you up. I don't want anybody to tell you that because you only got two hubcaps that you're not blessed. You can't be blessed. You ain't even got four hubcaps. No, I'm blessed because of the blood. That's on my life. Look what he says here. Hallelujah. And you know what? This is the problem. This is the thing that gets me. is that he says we are blessed because we have forgiveness and redemption from sin. And we sitting here like we ain't got no sin that we need to have redeemed. We sitting here like we got it all together. No, indeed. When somebody lets you know that your sins have been forgiven. Man, that you see, what you don't understand is how holy God is. And when you understand how holy God is, that he can't dwell in the presence of sin, that you are separated from God because of your sins. When somebody lets you know that your sins are forgiven, you should be like David and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because I understand I don't deserve to be there. But because of the blood that presents me faultless before God, I can come and lift hands. I can come and draw from worship. I can come and experience God like I've never experienced him before. Look what he says in 1 John 1 and 7. He says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from some sin. Cleanses us from sins we committed before we got saved. See that? And see, some of us, we act like that we got our cord cut right here in the church. And we've been saved. When Jesus found us, we were sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. And now we talk about what we don't do anymore and how we got to do this and how we got to do that. And can I tell you something? You're scaring people. You're making some people think that they can never ever live up to that standard when you yourself is not living up to the standard as well. Yes, you may be delivered from some stuff, but there's still some work that God is doing on the inside of you. And if you think you done made it, you done missed it altogether. Because you don't make it until you are like Isaiah that says, woe is me, is not my mother or my father, but is me, oh Lord. So stop telling people what you do. You don't have no works that you can present before God. Everything you are, you have it because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I got some more for you, because some of us, watch this, we get saved and then we want to condemn other people who didn't get delivered as fast as we did. Look at Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1. God then took care of this sin problem when we put it underneath the blood. Go there, Romans 8 and verse number 1. Look what he says. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Y'all better hear this. There is no condemnation. Are you reading your Bibles? Pastor Abel is not making this up. He says, there is now what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That the devil can't even condemn you no more. The devil can't even accuse you before God, because every time he tried to accuse you before God, Jesus steps up and says, what? I done took care of that already. I know that mess with you, huh? That mess with you because you stopped smoking yesterday and now you want to send all smokers to hell because you just got delivered yesterday. But the Bible says there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Because we don't walk according to the flesh anymore, but according to the Spirit. Watch what he says in verse number 2. In verse number 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus, life in his blood, has made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't even operate according to sin anymore. Here it is. I hear what you're saying. I see it. You're saying, so Pastor, what you're saying is, we can do whatever we want to do. And it's under the blood. That's why I like coming to Beacon Light. That's what I'm talking about right there. No. If that is your mindset, there's a problem with your heart. Because anytime you want to willfully sin and then try to take the grace of God for granted, God said there's a discipline that has to come upon you. But every time you sin, there should be something in your life that convicts you. That there should be something. And the conviction is not so that you can feel outcast, but to turn you back to God and to plead his blood over the situation so he can wash you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we have freedom and redemption from all sins. But number two, this is very important, because the blessing also gives us freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. That I don't have to be scared anymore of what the devil say he gonna try to do to me, because I have been freed from fear. Watch this. You're in Romans chapter number 8. Go to verse number 15. I hope you can appreciate a thorough Bible.